Left there last night. Couldn't even get in. The roads are so bad.
For answering Benedict's question, what if it's like not so doom and gloom that you're feeling spiritually drained, but there's days that seem to be a little much?
In general, you're not feeling drained, but certain days?
It seems like what you were explaining was someone that was generally feeling spiritually weakened by the services. But what if it's not like that, that it's not a general weakness, but at certain times the pressures and the demands. Sometimes Krishna just makes it a couple of days and then gives you a breather, since you're all right again. Is that wrong, if you feel also sometimes those hard days?
No, that's natural. There's a connection between the spiritual desire and the physical capabilities also. We can't help but we feel that's Krishna conscious when we're not feeling physically well, because we can't do all our normal activities. That's one thing that may happen. Then we just feel in better spirits when we're healthy and doing our normal duties. And then also, even if we're in good health, there may just be so many duties that come in a certain period that we can just about manage it. So that we can, we can look for some relief from that, but still we can appreciate that we're really being tested, given so many duties in a certain period. So much a person can do. You shouldn't be pushed past the limit. But I said that at least we could recognize that it would be nice to be able to do more and more. That would be a sign of more and more potency, but can be done. We have certain limits and we have to recognize them. And say, that's all I can do. And try to keep bringing that to a point where we're able to do more and more before we say that. Doesn't mean that we should, our mentality is so limited that we can just go to the morning program and then do one deity offering the rest of the day and then say, that's all I can do. Try to do more. But I've met my own limitations, and I've seen devotees who can do more than I can do. I can admire them, but still try to do more. Over the years, try to do more. And also, there are different ways to work. There's the lazy intelligence I described in that Life with the Perfect Master, how when I first became Prabhupada's servant, I was so eager to prove myself that I did everything myself. And I was always frantically working, but actually it wasn't the most economical way. I could have engaged other devotees to do some of the work, but I thought I had to do it all myself. So there's lazy intelligence, and that's the best kind. It doesn't mean actually lazy, It means that with your intelligence, you sometimes figure out ways how to minimize your efforts. Every invention is like that, every farm invention. As long as they don't get into being demoniac, even the oxen is it's lazy intelligence over the human being. Conceivably, he could have to plow himself. Just bend over with the plow, like Balaram does. Oh, there's no... It's ice, just ice all the way.
How do we overcome fear of responsibility?
Well, like most fears, you just have to just start doing it. Thing you're afraid of, you gradually have to get into. It's like somebody's afraid of the water. They can be led in by an adult swimmer and show him that there's, if you handle yourself properly, there's nothing to be afraid of. You have to respect the water, the deep water, but here you can swim. And then when he's led into it, but if he just always looks at the water and has a phobia, then he'll never be able to enter. And with responsibility, that's so important. We have to understand, basically, that happiness is in a selfless attitude, not in self-gratification on any level. Then we'll go after the happiness that's there of being a responsible devotee, pleasing the spiritual master by being responsible. What is there to be afraid of? That you'll do wrong?
Yeah. At least it seems like it's take on responsibility.
Yeah, but you'll be even more criticized for not doing it. Krishna tells Arjuna that inaction, you'll be condemned if you take the path of inaction. You have to act. Don't act forbidden. So that'll be more criticized. Shoot the rhinoceros. If you try to do something and you fail, say, well, he was trying to do a very great thing. It's to his credit. But if you don't do anything, it's worse. Would it be easier to go to that house there and then go down?
Yeah. It's really slippery and being
okay, I'm gonna go there. Yeah, devotees who aren't used to this climate are really amazed. I'm gonna go down here. Beginning of this movement, people would take responsibility after a year. And responsibility may be whatever form it comes in. You may be given a scope with freedom to do a lot of activities on your own, or your responsibility may be to just follow.
Kind of of heavy tools. That's like a whole different way of doing your spiritual life, you know. Instead of being the one taking shelter, being the one giving shelter. So it's a whole other dimension.
Spiritual master.
Did you see this mantra? Krishna gave it to him from within the heart, or there's a sannyas mantra, right?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how. Not something to imitate.
Are you saying how that the teacher has to be an example? And the ashram teaches an example also. Half my classroom, the children live outside, and they don't come to any of the morning programs. They just come to school, and then they leave right after.
Who's that, the two boys?
And the three boys.
Aditya Teach boys?
And Janaka. And lots of times...
Janaka?
Yes, Janaka also. And they don't...
Like a child. Oh.
And lots of times they go home and... Well, not Prachi's sons, but Janaka, they have a television set, and lots of times he'll come into school and he'll start like glorifying these television personalities. I was just wondering how I could better deal with that as far as the other children that do live in the ashram, and because he'll actually come to school and be glorifying this Mr. T or something, this personality, he's supposed to be strong or something. Or there'll be other occasions where they'll have cartoons from newspapers inside their notebooks. And then they'll secretly show to the other boys. So I have to be constantly aware of if they're huddled in corners or something to make sure that's not happening. But how could I better deal with that?
Well,
as far as
hard.
Encouraging them,
yeah.
And not actually contaminating the other children that do live here and that do go to all the programs, because also they have very much an independent attitude where, well, my father says this and my father says that, so I really don't have to do this. Like Haridas will work with me if I have any.
Of course, it's.
Questions, but with them, it's a
little
just different.
It's been mercy to those parents that we've allowed this over the years. You know, it's been back and forth, always trying to set a standard that Guru John and Paramananda set a standard that unless the boys came to the morning program, if they missed five morning programs in a month, then they would not be able to go to school. Then they would do that for a month. And now it seems like there's nothing at all. Just fully established that they're not coming. So it's just Paramananda's mercy to allow the men the privilege of having their children in the Gurukul when even others who are want to live, they're not being allowed to come here. They have to go away. So I think, you know, it has to be again thought whether that mercy to these men